Our text this morning is to be found in James chapter 5, verse 13. And we confine our thoughts this morning to the first half of the verse. James 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And as we come to these words this morning, I'd like us to consider this. Praying in the veil of affliction. Praying in the veil of affliction. Dear congregation, we read in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. He watches them, and he listens to their cry. He watches them as they struggle on through the valley of affliction, and he listens to their cries, to their groans, to their prayers. In verse 19 of that psalm we read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And we see there plainly that the Lord will not forget you in the veil of affliction. He watches over you. He listens to your cry, and in his good time will deliver you. You are not forgotten. Therefore, dear brethren, be patient. And as you continue on through the veil of affliction, continue to pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And as we've seen over these recent few weeks, James here earnestly exhorted the brethren to be patient under their affliction. There would be an end. We notice in verse 7, be patient therefore. And then after giving the illustration of the wise farmer or husbandman who waits for the precious fruit of the earth, in verse 8 he then says, be also patient. Be patient. There is an end in view. And then he also in verse 9 exhorts them not to grudge or groan or sigh against the brethren. Yes, they were suffering. There is a need of patience, but do not be one who groans or grudges, particularly when you're being oppressed. Verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. It was hard going for them. They needed to be patient, and they also needed to be so careful that they would not groan or grudge against others. In verse 12, he exhorts them to abstain from profane swearing and all vain oaths. Verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So we think of all this here, they were to be patient as they were suffering, not to groan. And they were to abstain from profane swearing and vain oaths at this time. Well, having given these exhortations at this time, he now directs them to what they were to be found doing in affliction. And then secondly, when they found themselves in a happy and prosperous condition. Two things here. What they were to be doing in the veil of affliction. But then also what they were to be doing when in a happy and prosperous condition. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Well, today we come to consider the first of these two here. What they were to do in the veil of affliction. At this time, yes, they were to be patient. They were to be careful as they thought of others. They were to be careful in what they said. They were also to pray, as we note here in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And dear brethren, we are exhorted to do likewise in the veil of affliction. Two things for us here this morning. Firstly, affliction, and secondly, prayer. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So many of them were. They were undergoing hardship at this time. We saw that a few weeks ago. There were those ungodly rich men oppressing them. And they were suffering other things, as we noted from verses 10 and verse 11. They were suffering for speaking for the Lord, like the prophets did. And they were suffering other things, like Job did in his life. Many of them were afflicted. Well, here James says, is any among you afflicted? Many were. Let him pray. The word afflicted speaks of to undergo hardships, to suffer trouble. Now, all suffer trouble in this world. There are certain afflictions which are common to all, such as sickness and disease. Ungodly men suffer sickness as well as godly men. It's common, isn't it? However, the Lord's people suffer certain troubles that only the Lord's people face, such as persecution for the sake of Christ. Just go back to verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. They were an example of patiently suffering. How they were suffering for the sake of the Lord. They had spoken the truth, and the Lord's people suffer as they make known the truth of the word. They suffer for the sake of Christ. There was a cross to bear in following the Lord. As we heard on Wednesday evening, many believers in North Korea, so many tens of thousands, are so suffering hardship in prison at this time. Dear brethren, let us remember those who are in bonds. Yes, as we shall consider this morning, we do suffer in the veil of affliction. Yet there are some of the Lord's people that are so undergoing hardships in prison at this very time. While we sit in comfort and in our freedom here, there are many in prison. In Hebrews 13 verse 3 we read, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Remember, identify yourself with them. Remember them in your times of prayer. And pray for them. They're suffering for making known Christ, for going to church, for living for the Lord. Pray for them in their affliction. Dear brethren, we would value others praying for us if we find ourselves in prison. Pray for those today who are in prison. Well, many of the Lord's people are suffering great hardship in this world for the sake of Christ. Some are in prison, as already mentioned. Some are deprived of clean water and clothing. Some are deprived of seeing their families. Some have been mutilated and worse. Many are suffering for the sake of Christ. Many are undergoing hardships. They've come over them, these afflictions, and they're suffering them. Well, let's turn to this country. Though we see great persecution in other lands, there is a measure of persecution in this country. And many face difficulties in the workplace and community. There is a cross to bear. We know what it is to suffer for the sake of Christ in this world. Well, we read here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And as we shall note a little later, if time permits, when you are finding it hard, maybe in the community or the workplace, you're being laughed at, turn to the Lord in prayer. Pray for those. Love them, we're told, are we not? And we're to pray for those that persecute us. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord for help and strength, and pray for your enemies. Well, we thought of affliction for the sake of Christ. But let's open this up a little bit further this morning. So we think of this subject of affliction, and then of the importance of praying whilst we are suffering affliction. Let's think of other types of affliction. Firstly, bodily affliction. We considered this a few weeks ago as we thought of Job, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. He suffered loss, and he suffered bodily affliction. One morning we may wake up and we're in pain. We went to bed the previous evening and we weren't in pain, but the morning's arrived and we wake up and we know something is wrong because there's a jabbing pain in our body. And you know, many of us, we hope it passes, but for some it doesn't. And we find ourselves in time having to seek medical help. Last Thursday I went to visit an elderly man in the village, and he's kept himself busy chopping up a large pile of logs. But 2 days before my visit, he was found unconscious on the floor. He had an infection. Happily, he's making a recovery. But as I was talking to him, he was talking of what happened, and he said, it's not easy to slow down. And it's not easy, is it? And we have to take a little different course. And he smiled at me when I said that, because he had in mind the things he wanted to get back doing in the garden. There was still the pile of logs, the grass needed cutting, the weather was fine. He was planning to get back to his work. But he knew at that moment, for the day, he had to slow down. And it's not easy, is it? When we suffer bodily affliction, and we know there's something wrong, and we have to slow down. It's not easy to slow down, is it? I read the other day that old age, has been said by one, is the golden time of life. And that's why some seem to steam ahead in their 70s and 80s. However, there are times because of bodily affliction when one has to rest or slow down, at least for a while. Sometimes one can suffer, and the suffering can be of a very serious nature. Bodily affliction. Well, at such a time, what are we to do? We're to pray. That's our first thing we're to do. We're to pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Well, let's move on and consider, secondly, financial hardship. We thought of the difficulties the apostle faced in his life there in Philippians chapter 4. And many face financial difficulties. Yes, ungodly men face financial difficulties, but also at times the Lord's people. Some of the saints were struggling at this time because of financial difficulties. Go back to verse 4. Behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. There were those rich ungodly men keeping back certain wages, and they were oppressing many of the Lord's people. Many of the Lord's people suffer financial hardship. Some Christians in this world, as we have thought earlier, are deprived of certain things. Some are deprived of good wages because they love the Lord. Many in Russia years ago found themselves in low-paid jobs, being the least-paid worker on the farm or in the factory. Why? Because they love the Lord. Many of the Lord's people in Russia have suffered, particularly years ago. But even in this country, some are not given the opportunity of promotion. Why? Because they're a Christian. But then think further. Some of the Lord's people have high mortgages to pay, and they struggle. They've got to pay a high mortgage, and it's a difficulty. The money soon goes on the mortgage, but they've got other bills to pay as well. Some face redundancy, and now they're plunged into a difficulty. One last paycheck has come, but they've got bills in the next few months to pay. And they find themselves struggling under that affliction. There could be financial difficulties, as we see in this chapter, particularly verse 4. Thirdly, the loss of loved ones. We've noted this earlier with Job a few weeks ago. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. How he was patient, even when he lost his loved ones. He lost his children. Yes, he could say in Job 1 verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He submitted. He sat down, submitting to the Lord, but he would also have sat down and cried. He would have known many a tear flowing down his cheek. The loss of loved ones. I've witnessed many tears over the last few years. Tears of sorrow, tears of pain. As one struggles because they've lost a loved one. I recall a few years ago talking to an elderly minister, and very strong he is, and he talks of the Lord, but then suddenly his eyes reddened as I talked to him of his late wife. It was hard for him, and it could be so hard. There's the empty chair, the silent room. For some, they must pack away the cot and the little clothes that they had arranged and brought and arranged. It can be a hard affliction to bear. And you may be suffering in this way. You're struggling because you've lost someone. And you find it hard and the pain doesn't go away. Yes, you're praying, but the pain doesn't go away. Dear brethren, keep praying. But then think of something further here. Think of your own family. One day, they may miss you. You may be taken first. Well, pray for them now. Pray that the Lord would help them and strengthen them when you are gone, if it's in his providence that you are taken first. Because it will be a hard valley to pass through. The loss of a loved one can bring much sorrow. It was hard for Job. Yes, he submitted, but it was hard for Job. Fourthly, troubles that afflict the mind. Troubles that afflict the mind. Now, some suffer a particular medical condition that so affects their mind. A number of years ago, I worked with a number in a home with learning difficulties, and they were afflicted in their minds in a particular way. And we lovingly pray for such. However, we all suffer to some measure trouble that afflicts our minds. Let's open this up. Firstly, one can be fearful. You call the disciples when they were on the lake. Our Lord said to them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why are ye so fearful? Those disciples. The Lord was there. Why are ye so fearful? And we may know much of the Lord's comfort. We may know much of the Lord's presence. Yet there can come a day when we know great fear. Why are ye so fearful? It's stress there, isn't it? And sometimes we as the Lord's people, we can suddenly find ourselves in great fear. What's going to happen? And we're greatly troubled. Fears about the present. Fears about the morrow, fears about the future. What's going to happen to me in that situation? We can suddenly become greatly perplexed, troubled, fearful. And then secondly, one can be perplexed. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And see that the apostle speaks of a time when he knew what it was to be perplexed, confused. What are we to do? Remember Jehoshaphat, after knowing there was a great multitude that had come out against him, he turned to the Lord in prayer and said this, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And we can come to this point. What are we to do? But we do one right thing. We turn to the Lord in prayer. We can be perplexed the situation before us. How's this going to unfold? I'm confused. Why has this happened to me? Surely is it right? One can be perplexed, neither know we what to do. Maybe in the workplace you've come to a situation. What am I to do in this situation? Or in the home, in the family, raising children, what am I to do? But our eyes are upon thee. We can be perplexed. We can be confused. Neither know we what to do. And that trouble can afflict our minds. We're perplexed. Thirdly, one can be cast down. Psalm 43 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Low thoughts had troubled the mind of the psalmist. And the Lord's people can find themselves in that veil. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Why? Now we note the context there. The psalmist is reasoning with his own soul there. Why? Hope in the Lord. And that's what we're to do. But we can find ourselves there. Low thoughts. What's going to happen, Lord? Why am I cast down, O my soul? We reason with our own soul. And this heaviness comes on the mind. You know what that's like, this heaviness? We've got low thoughts and sorrow has filled our soul. Fourthly, leading on. One can be upset and we can suffer that trouble, that affliction. Psalm 6 verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. We know those words. Rejoice in the Lord. Always and again I say rejoice. And that's what we seek to do, isn't it? That's what we long to do. That's what we know we ought to be doing when we consider God and His grace and His love and His favour towards us, how He assists us, how He helps us, if we can find ourselves upset. Weary. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. You come home, you sit down, you're upset in the evening, and you go to bed upset. You pray, you ask the Lord for help, but still the sorrow is there. You may be awake in the night and you're upset. And you're not wanting the morning to come. You're upset, maybe upset because of the sickness you're facing. Upset because of your own sin and failings. Upset because of the unkindness of others. Upset because of the pain others are suffering. One can be afflicted in this way, sorrowful, and you're troubled in your mind. You're fearful, perplexed, cast down, upset. There are troubles that afflict the mind. Dear brethren, we know what it is to know trouble in our hearts. You remember those words of our Lord in John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Why did the Lord say those words? It was because their hearts were troubled. We can think particularly of the word there as agitated. Their hearts were all stirred up. You know, some children have this fascination of seeking to agitate a nest. Maybe a nest of ants. Or a nest of wasps, a wasp's nest. And or just to touch the nest, to see what happens. And they're all agitated, stirred up. And you know, I've seen some people have to quickly run as the ants come towards their legs and try to climb up their legs. Or as the wasps come towards them, they run. The wasps are agitated, and it's not good to be around wasps, is it, when they're agitated? We think they're stirred up. Well, at times our hearts can be stirred up. Yes, there can be that tranquility. Remember those words of Christ, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And, oh, we know that tranquility at times. The peace of the Lord, it fills our hearts. Yet our peace is disturbed. It's interrupted. You know what that's like? Is your peace interrupted at this time? And your heart is stirred up. Those disciples, they'd seen the Lord. The Lord was before them. Had the blessing of being in the presence of the Lord there in the upper room. Yet their hearts were stirred up. Let not your heart be troubled. We do find our hearts troubled. We do find our minds afflicted. Remember this, he knows our frame. That's why he comes and says such words there. Let not your heart be troubled, because he knows at times your hearts are troubled. You struggle with perplexing thoughts in your minds, fearful thoughts, thoughts that leave you being upset. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, before we move on, I'd like just to consider a number of more further things here as we consider afflictions. Firstly, we suffer many afflictions. And we need to remember that, dear brethren. Oh, if it were just one or two afflictions in life, we could cope. But no, it's many afflictions. You see, the Lord is going to teach us much through them. He's going to wean us off this world. He's going to teach us more of himself, as we will note in a moment. But firstly, we suffer many afflictions. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many of the young people in the late spring face many exams, test after test. I remember when I came to the exams in the final year, we were given an exam timetable, and that was complicated in and of itself. What we had to do at a certain time, on a certain day, and in a certain place. There were certain exams this week, on those days, and the following week, there were other exams waiting. And I just look forward to when I would do the last exam and say goodbye to school. And then, well, it will be years of blessing. Well, years of teaching would further come. What a relief to finish school after so many tests. Well, dear brethren, we face test after test. Way beyond 60. Many are the afflictions. And they won't be finished until we arrive in glory above. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when we face many afflictions on one day. They all seem to come on one day. Through the valley we must pass, we will face many an afflictions until we get to the celestial city. Dear brethren, I cannot promise you that you only have a few more afflictions till you get to heaven. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Secondly, affliction in the providence of God. We must understand that, dear brethren. Psalm 107, verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He commands. And in verse 38 and verse 39 of that psalm, we read this. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. It's all in the providence of God. Think there of a day of bounty, but then a day of want. It's all in the providence of God. And we can look back over our lives. We've been brought to a day of blessing, and we've known certain things, but then there's come a day of adversity, and it's been hard. Dear brethren, we can all identify with this when we think of our cars. A new car, provision's been made, but then it goes wrong, and we've got bills to pay, and we struggle. Well, it's all in the providence of God. As in the providence of God we were provided with the car, so in the providence of God the car went wrong. And dear brethren, we must recognise God's providence in the afflictions we face. Joseph suffered because of his brothers, however he recognised the hand of God. Genesis 45 verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God sent me. In another place, ye did evil, saying to his brothers. But he recognises God's hand. And dear brethren, Oh, recognize the hand of God. Cling to this truth. God is over all. And as he is over all, he will deliver you. We can take comfort in the providence of God. Yes, affliction comes in his providence, but also affliction will go in his providence. Thirdly, affliction and the glory of God. Remember again those words we considered a few weeks ago. Remember what our Lord said after hearing that Lazarus was sick. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God would be glorified in this. Christ would be glorified. Yes, Lazarus would die, but soon be raised again, and the Lord would be glorified. And dear brethren, God is glorified in your afflictions. We may say, but how? Well, consider how the Lord supports you. Consider how the Lord supported Job. Yes, he wasn't perfect, but oh, how the Lord supported him when we see such a strong man. How the Lord supports you. How he strengthens you in the bowel of affliction. Well, it's to his glory. The world can look on and not understand the believer. How can they carry on? How can they carry on praising the Lord? How can they carry on being focused on eternity and heaven? Well, it's because God is strengthening. Is not God glorified in this? How he comes alongside you. How he supports you. God is glorified. And remember this, overall in your affliction, God will be glorified. He's working his purposes out, even for you in the bowel of affliction, for his glory. He's acting for your good, that you be more like Christ. Romans 8 verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things for good and for his glory. And the afflictions you're facing, let me tell you, they are for the glory of God. And they are that Christ would be glorified. And oh, we rejoice in that, even though we may suffer hard, that Christ is being glorified. Let Christ be glorified in our afflictions. Talk of him. Talk of how he's supporting you, helping you. Point others to Christ. Let Christ be glorified. It may be hard. You may be troubled. You may be perplexed. But remember, the Lord will be glorified. Fourthly, the benefits of affliction. The benefits of affliction. In a moment we're going to sing those words in Psalm 119 verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me? That's amazing, isn't it? Can you say that this morning? You may be perplexed though. How can it be? But afterwards you'll be able to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. We think there are the benefits of affliction. John Newton wrote, the advantages of affliction, when the Lord is pleased to employ them for the good of his people, are many and great. To brethren, there are things we learn in affliction we would have learned no other way. Well, let's think of a few benefits of affliction as we draw to a close. First of all, we learn. Psalm 119 verse 71 again. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And dear brethren, we learn much in affliction. Afflictions, you see, can cause us to stop and refocus our attention on the Word of God. There can come this renewed desire to read and meditate on the Word. You see, one's struggling. Lord, I need help. One becomes refocused. The Lord stirs them. And they look to the Word and the Lord speaks and they learn. And the affliction has caused them to learn from the Word. And dear brethren, if you find yourselves learning from the Word, praise God. Afflictions can cause one to learn. Consider further, one can learn afresh the truth of God's promises. You recall those words in Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And dear brethren, where did Isaiah so learn those lessons of the Lord's presence? It wasn't in the green pasture. It was in the valley of affliction. And yes, we do learn in the green pastures, but we often learn in the valley of affliction. And the Lord draws near to us, and we sense his presence, the truth of his promise, I will be with thee. And it's true, dear brethren, isn't it? We have proved that. We have sensed his nearness often in the valley. We learn afresh his promises. There's the benefit of affliction. The promises speak volumes in the veil of affliction. How one learns in the school of affliction from God's word. J.C. Ryle writes, there is no commentary that opens up the Bible so much as sickness and sorrow. Secondly, they can be used in the restoring of a believer. Psalm 119 verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. You remember in Psalm 23, the shepherd restores our soul. And there are times when we are weak and he speaks a word through his word to us and we find this restoring. Our soul is lifted. But you remember there also we can have in mind of a wandering sheep. And the shepherd restores. Well, sometimes the shepherd restores the wandering sheep through affliction. The psalmist recognized this. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. He was going astray. The Lord afflicted him, that he might be brought back near and be helped to so keep the word. Dear brethren, what do we fear? Everything going well, we're drifting from the Lord. Oh, let the Lord use afflictions if it means we're brought back and we're found so focusing on the Lord. And we're so looking to the Lord. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It may be something comes to your life, and it makes you get down on your knees and pray to the Lord. Some affliction comes, and it causes you to stop going astray. You're called to read the Bible again, and the Lord blesses you. And through that affliction, you're brought nearer. And dear brethren, as we think of that, what a blessing that in affliction, there are times when we are brought nearer to the Lord. Thirdly, and we'll be brief, affliction often teaches us to pray. Now we note this here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Afflictions often teach us to pray. Psalm 107 verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and he bringeth them out of their distresses. A storm had come and they began to pray. You know, in adversity at times, one can be caused to pray. Something's happening. I was coming back from Birmingham yesterday on this Virgin train and the train was going faster and faster and suddenly something I've never experienced on a train, perhaps I haven't been on fast trains like this. Suddenly the carriage started lifting up. It was all safe, nothing wrong, but I got very nervous and I began to pray. As the carriage went that way and then suddenly around the corner that way, I had thoughts of the carriage that was about to come off the track, but all was well. But it made me pray. Some afflictions cause us to pray. Psalm 81 verse 7. Thou callest in trouble. Remember the children of Israel, they cried unto the Lord by reason of their bondage. Exodus 2 verse 23. It was so hard for them. And then they prayed. And their prayer was earnest. And often our prayers can become more earnest in the veil of affliction. John Newton wrote, troubles rouse our spirits and constrain us to call upon the Lord in good earnest. And thank God if you've been brought to a point when you've just cried out to the Lord in such an earnest way. Afflictions can be used to cause us to pray. Fourthly, afflictions can quicken us to lean on the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The psalmist said in the psalm, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defence to save me. He was struggling. There were his enemies. He looks to the Lord. And dear brethren, has it not been our testimony in the veil of affliction? We found ourselves suddenly leaning on the more Lord more. I remember a number of years ago, all those in my family were in hospital or facing hospital. And I had to get some clothes. And that was a task, wasn't it? Clothes for this one, clothes for that one. Thankful for my wife who sorts it out every day. But I had to do it once. My family were in hospital, facing hospital, and I said this to the Lord, there's nothing else but to trust thee. And the Lord had caused that affliction for me to lean on him the more. Dear brethren, there are the benefits of affliction. And if you have been through your affliction caused to lean on Christ more, thank the Lord that in his providence you, even through that affliction, have been caused to lean on him the more. But dear brethren, there are the benefits of affliction. Now what do we read here? Is any among you afflicted? Now he shows what is to be done. Let him pray. But just listen to those words. Is any among you afflicted? Are you afflicted this morning? Listen to these words. It's a question to you. Is any among you afflicted? Are you suffering? Are you struggling? What does the Lord want you to do today? Well, let's hear the answer. Let him pray. We haven't got time to look at this second point. But just listen to what the Lord's saying. Let him pray through his servant James. Pray. Are you struggling this morning? The Lord wants you to go and talk to him about it. Let him pray. Pour out your heart. Maybe some bodily affliction. You're finding it hard again today. Maybe some financial affliction. Some of our affliction is troubling your mind. Something in the workplace. God says pray. Cast all your care upon him. Are you struggling in affliction? Roll the burden on the Lord. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you're struggling in your life at this moment, the Lord's waiting for you. He wants you to talk to him. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray.